when it comes to Jesus, I'm never shy. Hallelujah! I want to shout and I don't want to stop shouting. Hallelujah! What a great God! What a mighty God! He can do everything and anything you cannot think of. Hallelujah! I believe Him. In everything He says, in everything He promises. Hallelujah! Jesus has brought me from so far. And when I see it, it's just a miracle. I'm sitting behind Bishop. Me too. I'm sitting behind Bishop. It's too far. This is a miracle. Jesus is good. And today we are here to celebrate Jesus for what He's doing and what He has done. 5 years ago, January 6, 2013, Bishop had a crazy idea of getting a ministry for African people. And Calvary Gospel Church joined crazily into the idea. And moreover, they didn't find anything crazier than to make somebody like me the head of the ministry. I'm excited when I see what is happening in this church. God is just showing you and me how true He is to what He says He is. And how true He is in what He promises to do. The baby has 5 years and the baby is crippling on his knees. Little by little. We see it and we say, what did we do? He did everything. Thank God. There is an African International Ministries in Calvary Gospel Church. 5 years. So thankful to God. And for that, we were blessed with so many people coming to help. And it is growing little by little the way God wants it to grow. Thank you, Calvary Gospel Church, for being patient and working with the African International Ministry. Thank you so much for all you do. Bishop, it wasn't crazy. It was from God. It is here. You see it. Brother Roy, your entireness of working with us is giving up to something. And all the staff of Calvary Gospel Church, I have tears in my eyes. You're doing a great job. You're doing a powerful job. And the Lord our God is happy about it. God bless you all. God bless you all. Today, at this moment, we have the privilege of having with us the son of his father, Edwin Forkpa Jr. is the son of Dr. Edwin Forkpa Sr. He graduated from high school in 2003 in Liberia. He went to a Bible school called Maranatha Bible College in Liberia. He got a degree in bachelor degree in theology. And he came to the United States of America in 2012. Just led by God, he went to Yersin College in St. Louis, Missouri. There again, he got a bachelor in art in Christian ministry. Brother Forkpa is working with Pastor Christopher Fallas in Indiana. He is the Sunday school director of Calvary Tabernacle of Praise in Indiana. And he is also outreaching for African people in Indiana. My friends, African people, when they come here, one thing is in their mind. They come and they forget about the God that they worship who. And they're running after money. They're working 5 jobs sometimes. They're working too many jobs. And to take them out of that, it is difficult. It is difficult. Young people coming for school, when they get here, they forget everything and they want to leave the freedom that you guys have here. It's not easy to outreach them. Pray for anybody who is outreaching for this fringe of people. God bless you. We are going to welcome now the blessing of God. Pastor Forkpas Jr., please come and take the liberty of preaching to us. God bless you. It's the Son of the Father.
Praise the Lord, somebody. Oh, praise the Lord, somebody. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto the Lord. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. While you are still standing, I would like to recognize the presence of God in this place. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, as soon as I step in this place, I identify the fact that God is in this house. And to the leadership of this church, the bishop, the pastor, and the associate pastors of this church, the leadership, I'm talking about those responsible for all of the departments of this church, I say I salute you today with Jesus' joy. Thank you for having me over here. I shouldn't have been the one here. My dad was supposed to be here, but because he's as busy as a bee, he talked to me. He said, son, I have something for you to do. I said, dad, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go to Madison, Wisconsin. Is that how you say it? He said, you are going to be preaching. I said, okay, that's not a problem. I think I like to preach. He said, but you're going to be preaching about 3 or 4 services back. I said, Dad, what do you want to do me like this? Amen. Well, I'm glad that we are in the house of the Lord. And it is my prayer and hope that the time we leave from here, God is going to do something in the life of somebody. Amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. When you have it, say amen. I read. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. I want you to lay your Bibles down and raise your holy and sanctified hands to heaven and begin talking to the Lord. Heaven the Father, Jesus. Shanaboko shedebeke shadababaka shata. Oh, God, as we've come in this place this morning, God, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you're going to speak to somebody, Lord. I can by myself do absolutely nothing. God, I'm depending on you, Lord. I pray, Jesus, let your will be done in this place, God. And let your name be glorified. Spirit of the living God. in Jesus' name. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Get happy and have your seat. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Very briefly, I'm going to be preaching from a theme, because Jesus was in the house. I said, because Jesus was in the house. Amen. Can I preach like I want to? Can I go down there? That's put our hands together for the bishop. Jesus, Jesus. Every person has emotions. Amen. Should I say that again? I said every person has emotions. And at different point in time, we exercise our emotions. Some people, they are happy when their kids are doing good in school. Amen. Some people get happy when they bought or when they buy a new house. Amen, somebody. Some people get excited when they buy a new car. Amen. Some people get excited when they get a new job. And some church folk get happy because they have a nice building. They got great ministries. They got a wonderful pastor. They are doing what they think God has called them to do. But for this morning, I'm happy for a different reason. I'm happy this morning because Jesus is in this house. I say I'm happy because Jesus is in this house. When Jesus is in the house, the sick can get healed. When Jesus is in their house, the sinners can get saved. When Jesus is in their house, something can happen. Something that you cannot do, something that I cannot do, happens when Jesus is in their house. How many people know about the presence of God? How many people have felt the presence of God? I don't know about you, but the presence of God is like heaven to me. I said the presence of God is like heaven to me. No place I'd rather be but in the presence of the Lord. David said, I was glad. I said, David said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because in the house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord is beauty of holiness. In the house of the Lord is pleasure forevermore. I love the presence of God. And I'm not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Somebody put their hands together for Jesus. You have to understand that the devil does not want you to do but one thing. And that is to be in the presence of God. He's going to do everything he can. He's going to do what everything he can to stop you from being in the presence of the Lord. But the devil is a liar. Oh, you didn't get that. I said the devil is a liar. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Every morning when I wake up from bed, I tell the devil that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I tell the devil to his face, you cannot stop me. I'm the child of God. I'm destined for victory. Every morning I proclaim over my life, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. My going out shall be blessed, and my coming in shall be blessed. And devil, whether you like it or not, you cannot take me from the presence of the Lord.
have to understand that what he's doing to you was exactly what he did to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God spoke everything into existence, and he went down. He made man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God will come down, I believe, daily to fellowship with man. I don't know exactly how it was. I cannot describe it. And the Bible did not say anything about how it felt. But I believe when God came in the presence, when God came in the garden, it was a beautiful thing. Because it was humanity touching divinity. It was God coming down to fellowship with people he has made in his image and after his likeness.
And oh boy, the devil got mad. I said, oh boy, the devil got mad.
He comes. He does something. And now, mankind is no more fellowshipping with God like before. Let me say this to somebody in this place this morning. Sin will separate you from God. I'll say that again. Sin will separate you from God. And from the day Adam and his wife sinned against God, there was no more. That relationship was not like before. And from one generation to the next, mankind struggled. There was a struggle. Later down in scripture, you understand that we have priests. Now, because the people could not go to God on their behalf, so the priests had to go to God on behalf of the people. How many people read the Bible this morning? I'm in the Bible. And the priest will go to God on behalf of the people, and he will confess the sin of the people to God. But the sins were not forgiven. They were just rolled back. I said, the high priest will go to God on behalf of the people, and he will confess their sin, but their sin was not taken away. But may I announce to somebody this morning that we have another high priest. I said, we have another high priest who decided to go to God on our behalf. But this time around, it was different. He was the offerer and the offering. He was the gift and the giver. He went on our behalf and he sacrificed himself. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I said that whosoever, I said that whosoever, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in the sight of the Lord. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we see Jesus. He's hanging on the cross. They hung him high and they scratched him. And Jesus said some things while he was hanging on the cross. But while he was hanging on the cross, he said something that I like. He said, it is finished. I just better get happy by myself. He said, it is finished. I said, he said, it is finished. When he said it was finished, the thing that separated the priest from the people ended. The veil in the temple tore from top to bottom. I said the veil in the temple tore from top to bottom. That means anybody can come into the presence of the Lord. I said that means anybody can come into the presence of the Lord. I said that means anybody can come into the presence of the Lord. The rich can come. The poor can come too. The Africans can come. The Mexican can come. The Hispanics can come. The Caucasian can come. My brethren, the African American can come. Everybody can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy to find help in the time of need. Don't allow the devil to stop you. When you are sick, you can come. I said, when you are sick, you can come. When you need a job, you can come. When you are downhearted, you can come. Oh, when your kids are acting crazy, you can come. Anybody can come into the presence of the Lord and obtain what you want from the Lord. What's stopping you? The Bible says, whosoever will. Guess what? That includes you. Put your hands together for yourself. Give your neighbor a high five and say nothing. Give your neighbor a high five and say nothing is going to stop me from entering into the presence of God. And so the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom because Jesus did for you what you could not do for yourself. You know what the gospel is? The gospel is God coming down when we could not go up. I said the gospel is God coming down when we could not go up. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, I was on my way to hell. It had to be God. That's why every now and then I said to God, be the glory. I said to God, be the glory. Thank God he saved me. Thank God he saved me. The gospel is God. I don't have time. The passage of scripture just read. If you read Mark chapter number 1, you are going to understand that Jesus did some stuff in chapter 1. Amen. I said Jesus did some stuff in chapter 1. But he did something. He went ahead and he healed this young man. And he told this young man, as I'm healing you, I don't want you to tell anybody. But this young man disobeyed God. And he started telling everybody that Jesus did something for him that he could not do for himself. And the Bible says in chapter number 2 that it was noise abroad that Jesus was in the house. This young man, he went out telling everybody what Jesus did for him until he put Jesus in trouble. That's funny, right? Now, everybody is running after Jesus. And Jesus is in a particular house. And he's preaching the word of God in that house. I don't want to ever go to a church where the word of God is not preached. I don't want you to tell me what I want to hear. I want you to tell me what God has for me. I don't want you to itch my ears. I don't want to be excited about things of this world and gladly walk myself to hell. I want you to tell me what the Bible says. Yeah, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to those afar, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I need a word of God. I need a word from God. So Jesus is preaching the word of God in the house. And the Bible says it was noise that he was in the house. I got one thing against Christians this morning. I'm sorry, Bishop. But we don't make noise a lot about the God we serve. I said we don't make noise about the God we serve. But those people in the house, they made noise because Jesus was in the house. When God heals you, tell somebody. When God saves you, tell somebody. When God delivers you, tell somebody. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. 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 He saved me, say so. He delivered me, say so. He set me free, say so. He helped me, say so. Let the redeemed. I am redeemed. I'm set free. Jesus has healed my whole life. If anybody asks me, what's your name? My name is redeemed. My name is redeemed. Because Jesus redeemed me. So the redeemed of the Lord needs to say so. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. There are certain things only your testimony can do. I said there are certain things only your testimony can do. If God is going to heal somebody, he needs to... Is there a sick person in this house? Is there a sick person in this house? Let me tell you this in closing. No, not in closing. I'll close in a little bit. But what you need to do, don't sit by somebody who has not been sick and God healed them before. You need to look for somebody who the doctor said, I gave you 6 months and God healed them. When you come to that brother or that sister, you say, what's your testimony? And they're going to say, the doctor said I was going to die in 6 months, but I'm still here. The doctor said, I was going to die in 2 months, but I'm still here. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. His report says I'm healed. His report says I'm delivered. His report says I'm set free. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. So Jesus is in the house. But you just need some crazy friends. I said you just need some crazy friends. The problem of us, we want all of our friends to be just like us. There is this particular guy in the scripture, from the time that he was mentioned in the scripture up to the time he was healed, he did not say a word, but he has some crazy friends. Jesus is in the house. These four guys, they go to their friend who is lying down. He could not speak. He could not move. He could do nothing for himself. But these four friends, they said, you know what? We cannot help you. But we know a man. But we know a man who can do but anything. I said, we know a man who is all powerful. We know a man. He's God manifested in the flesh. We know a man. He's all powerful. We know a man. We cannot do it, but we're going to take you to this man. And so they took their friend who was just lying down, put him on his shoulder. And they are taking him to church. I said, they are taking him to church. And I want to believe that there are some people who said, y'all wasting your time. Y'all ain't got a job to do. This man is a burden. A brethren should never be a burden. I said, a brethren should never be a burden. The Bible says we should bear one another's burden. They come to Jesus. Or they come to Jesus' house. But they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd. Sometimes some people don't get to Jesus because of church folks. Some people get in the way of those that want to come to Jesus. But get out of the way, because this is an emergency. Somebody needs Jesus. And there was no way for them to get to Jesus because of the people that were around Jesus. And as I preach around America, I tell people, if we're going to have revival, it's not going to come with those that are already saved in our church. We have to go out there and go for people that don't smell like church. People that don't look like church. People that don't talk like church. People that don't live like church. When you bring them, you're going to have revival automatically. So they bring this guy, man, and there's no way. That's why I said earlier, you need some crazy friends, right? They could not go because Jesus was in the house and there was no way to get into Jesus. They said, you know what we're going to do? Since we cannot get through the door, we're going to go up the roof. They were unstoppable. They got up the roof. And they started knocking on heaven's door. When was the last time you knocked on heaven's door? They were knocking on heaven's door. God, you got to answer our prayer. God, you got to do something. And when nothing was done, they unroofed God's house. I said they unroofed God's house. They destroyed the roof. And they started to let down their friend who was lying in the bed. And the funny thing about it, Jesus was still in the house preaching. That means that you cannot interrupt God. Whatever you do, you are just drifting into the plan of God. You're not going to interrupt him. You are just getting into his plan. And while Jesus was still preaching, this man comes down. It would be funny if something like that happened right now. Amen. But this man comes down in the bed. And the Bible says this. Jesus looked up. He did not see full men. The Bible said when he saw their faith. The Bible did not say Jesus saw full men. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. We need people in our lives that believe God for us. And though you are sick, you are downhearted, you are frustrated, they can say, I believe that God can heal you. I believe that God can deliver you. I believe that God can set you free. I believe that God can do something. I believe in you. You need people that believe in you. We need to look beyond people's faults and weaknesses and see their potentials. I believe in you. And Jesus saw their faith. And Jesus forgave this man's sin because of their faith. And the Pharisees got mad. Who is he to forgive sin? And Jesus got mad too. He said, I forgive his sin. You mad now? I'm going to heal him. Oh, you just mad because I forgave his sin? You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm about to do something you ain't seen before. Something that eyes have not seen. Ears have not. Oh my God, somebody help me. God said he's going to do something new in the life of somebody. And this man who the Bible does not give a lot of description about, he was lying down. He came up from the rooftop. Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. That thing that you were comfortable in. I want you to pick it up and walk. And the Bible says, 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 this man picked up his bed and he walked. Oh, you're not excited, right? I said, this man picked up his bed and he walked. Oh, you're not excited, right? I said, this man picked up his bed and he walked. Shanaba shata. Reboko shada. Rababaka shadaba. Rereboko shada. Rababaka shadaba. I'm about to close. You know what an apostolic Pentecostal Holy Ghost church ought to be? It's not about how you come in. I said it's not about how you come in. It's about how you leave. It's not about how you come in. It's not about how you come in. It's about how you leave. It's about how you leave. It's about how you leave. I went to a meeting one night and my soul wasn't right, but something got hold of me. Something got hold of me. People are to come sick and go back here. Why, preacher? Because he was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquity. Jesus can still break yokes. Jesus can still lift burdens. And I want to declare to somebody this morning that Jesus is in this house. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. I want to announce to somebody this morning that Jesus is in this house. And when Jesus is in the house, everything is possible. What's your problem this morning? I'm about to close. What's your problem this morning? If you can just bring that problem to Jesus. Not to this preacher. I'm powerless. I don't know anything. I'm hopeless. But if you can just bring it to the one who fixes everything, Jesus. I'm going to close with my own story. When I was in Bible college in Africa, you know, before graduating, you would have to host a revival and you have to pray that somebody get the Holy Ghost or somebody is baptized or so, or else you cannot pass the class. So we went to this African village and we were trying to have this revival. We were hoping and praying that God would bless somebody, heal somebody, deliver somebody. We needed every portal pass. And while we were like bringing people, talking to people about the goodness of God and making them to come up, the musicians can come. And I saw this elderly man. He was drunk like a monkey. He's coming. And I said, where are you going? He said, I'm coming to church because the pastor said I should come to church. I said, brother, you are welcome. Thank you. May God bless you. And let's go. I was not the one preaching. It was my friend. And my friend stood up that night and he preached. And while I was standing all the way on the other side, I kept looking at this elderly man. At some point, I saw him slip his hands to Rabbi Shantara. I saw him slip his hands towards heaven. I said, yes, God, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Don't forget, I said he was drunk, though. Not just drunk, but he was very, very, very drunk. But I saw he raised his hands towards heaven. And I get very happy when I see people trying to press into the holiest of holies. They just take one step. I get very excited. I get crazy. So I walk to him. And I lay my hands, excuse me, brother, I lay my hands on him. And he raised his hands. And as I was looking at him, God was working on him. And God was touching him. And God was dealing with him. And I kept on praying and I kept on believing God for him. And before I could know it, this elderly man, he started speaking in tongues. Oh, you didn't hear it, okay? The Bible said there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one person. I said this man was speaking in tongues. He was speaking in a heavenly language. I could not help it but just to cry. I said, God, you are so good. We took this man to the creek and we baptized him. And he just had a smile on his face. He was so happy. And I went and talked to him. He said, son, you will now understand. He said, this is the first time in my life I've ever been happy. This is the first time in my life I've experienced this kind of joy.
Hallelujah.
Wait a minute. But he was drunk. But this is that was spoken by the prophet. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Not just some, but all flesh. And God filled him and he was happy. And I want to announce to this church in closing, that the same Jesus who was in that house is in this house. Oh yes, I said that because I want you to come. Come, 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 come. You can stand right now. Come, 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 come. You can come now. You can come, you can come, you can come. You can come, you can come, you can come, you can come. As you come in with your hands raised, let's mean business right now. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I want you to mean business because Jesus is in this house. I don't know your needs, but I know a God who knows everything. He knows our needs even before we can pray. I know the bishop, the ministers, the pastors are going to come down there. They're going to pray for you. But I want you to pray for yourself. Raise your hands and talk to God until you hear yourself speaking in tongues. Because God is going to do a work today. I said God is going to do a work today. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. In the name of Jesus. Shadabaka, Shadaboko, Shedebeke Shata, Raboko, Rakanebeke, Shadaboko Shata, in the name of Jesus. All over this place, somebody talk to God. That's it, that's it. God is moving. In the name of Jesus.
It is power.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.